In our lives, it is so easy, it's so tempting to look at what somebody else has accomplished and think that, well, that could have been me. Now, when you're in school, have you ever caught yourself thinking, I can't wait until I have a job? None of this homework business for me. And most of us are going, because we know we end up taking work home with us. But then adults are thinking, well, I can't wait until I retire and all that free time that I'm going to have. Which isn't happening. You know, kids can't wait to get out on their own so they can do as they please. Young people are on their own, want some companionship of someone, and can't wait to get married. And then you run across some married people who long for the time back when they were free and could do whatever they wanted. See, there's a problem of a lack of contentment. We're convinced that we just won't be happy, that we can't be happy until things change in our situation. And it's so different from what Paul described to Timothy. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And starting at verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into this world, and so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. I can be content just having the basics. I can be content with my life the way it is right now. In fact, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want or have learned, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along in humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Whatever state, I can survive it. I can be more than that. I can be content. Because Christ is there supporting me. See, the real problem is that of envy. Envy is desiring what other people have. Wanting it for yourself. Sometimes we envy the wrong person. Like, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 31. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. You might look at a man who's tough and mean and he gets what he wants, right? But do we really want to cause other people harm to gain what he has? See, we ignore how they achieve those things. Take a look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Stay with what God has. We don't realize the effect that envy has had on our lives. In Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and in verse 30. A tranquil heart is a life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. We get involved in envy and other types of strong emotions, it ruins our health. It ruins our lives. See, envy is putting yourself in front of others, making what you want more important than anything else. And in James chapter 3 and in verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Now, the opposite of being envious of others is actually meekness. Instead of having selfish ambition, the meek person has no concern about themselves because they're focused on helping others. In Philippians chapter 2, and starting at verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Therein lies part of the secret of being content. It's not about me. Life isn't about me. I focus on what I can do for others. There's a poem that we have that's in our songbooks that we sing, Count Your Many Blessings. Count Your Blessings by Jonathan Oatman. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. Every good gift comes from God. As James tells us in James chapter 1, and in verse 17, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, for with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We focus on this time of year about gift giving and what presents did I get? Think about the presents that God has given you. Are we paying attention to what God has given to us? Are we only focused on what we don't have and making that somehow a priority? Think about all the blessings that we have. A home to come to each night. I got to learn how to be thankful for the heat that we have. Someone to greet you when you come home, your family, spouse, a job where you can use your abilities, a paycheck to purchase what you need, brethren with whom you can worship, things to laugh about, friends to laugh with. Our lives are filled with things that we can be grateful for. And when you count your blessings, if you try to actually number them, it becomes overwhelmingly obvious that we have no need to envy anybody else because our lives are full. Another thing we need to do, though, is to be active. When we get idle, that leaves time for us to feel sorry for ourselves. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, in a warning to young women, in verse 13, it says, at the same time, they may also learn to be idle. They go round from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things that are not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger women to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. We sometimes talk about idle hands being the devil's workshop. We need to keep busy. It keeps our mind focused on better things. We need to take advantage of opportunities that come our way. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Look at the chances that you have to do things for others. Keep yourself busy helping other people. And let God then be seen through your actions. Take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." It's not doing good so that I can be seen and say and get pat on the back. It's doing good so that people can see this is what Christianity is really like. This is what God actually asked of us. This is what makes the world a better place. Another thing, too, that we need to do in order to be content is learn how to ask. Because when there's a true need, God will answer our prayers. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, he says about those who inflate their prayers with lots of words. He says, "So then don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." God understands our life. He knows what we need. And he will answer our prayers. So instead of getting worked up about a matter, I've talked to people all the time that get wrapped up in some problem. And it's like they're stuck in a broken record. They're stuck in a rut. Repeating it over and over again. Rather than getting worked up over a matter, bring it to God. That's what prayer is for. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." God knows what we need. Talk to him about it. Now, sometimes the answer is no. And as some of the songs that we just sang, it talked about being grateful and content with things as they are, being even grateful when things are not going our way, because that makes us long for heaven. So sometimes even when the answer is no, we can learn contentment. Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul gained the ability to see that he can improve, that those things, struggles and difficulties, are there to make him a better person. And so with these things, then, we can be content. Will anyone have everything? Well, of course not. It's not a question of what you don't have. It's a matter of what you do with the things that you do have. Your talent, your time, your opportunities. Make the most of what you have. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and in verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord. I want to start with 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Make the most of your time. We don't have that much. As we get older, we realize how little time we have left. Make the most of it. There are people around you who are lost. There are people around you that have no clue how to reach heaven. Are you making the most of your time? In Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Again, make the most of your time. Now, not everyone's going to listen. Sometimes I have to remind people, you know, the fields are white to harvest. There is so many people that need to hear the gospel. Don't get wrapped up. If somebody doesn't want to listen, don't get wrapped up in that person. Move on. There are other people. There's lots of other people that need to hear the truth. And there's people out there who want to know the truth. So you make the most of it. Talk to those people so that we don't lack anything ourselves. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 9. It says, so as to love the brethren, you have no need to anyone write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to attend to your own business, and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. There's, you know, we don't have everything here. And the greatest treasures are not here on earth. They're the treasures that we lay up in heaven. The things that we do for others, especially bringing them salvation. Now, if you're lacking something, perhaps salvation or the peace of knowing your Lord, there's an opportunity today to put on Christ. There's an opportunity also that we can be followers of Christ. If there's anyone desiring that, we offer that opportunity. If there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, if there's anyone who wishes the prayers of their brethren on behalf, again, there's an opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.